Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, can Jody Wilson-Raybould and Jane Philpott win as independent candidates in the next federal election?
As an independent, I will be truly free to take the guidance of the citizens of Vancouver Granville and to represent you. I will not have to try and convince myself that just because the way it has always been done means that it must continue to be done that way.
The government sets the stage to pass legislation to ratify a new North American trade deal.
The entry into force of this agreement does not depend solely on Canada. The new agreement can enter into force only upon ratification in each of the three NAFTA countries. And that is why we are working in very close collaboration with our NAFTA partners.
And is the cancellation of spending cuts in Ontario linked to this year's federal election?
We sat down with our team over the weekend, had an opportunity to speak to a few mayors as well, and we've come up with a conclusion that we're going to work together. We're going to maintain the funding throughout this year.
It's Tuesday, May the 28th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by Susan Delacourt, the Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mark.
So now we know what Jody Wilson-Raybould and Jane Philpott are planning to do this fall. They're running as independents. But I think it's worth exploring what they talked about in their announcements yesterday. Jody Wilson-Raybould said she felt the best way to change the system was to do so as an independent, to sit as an independent MP in the House of Commons. And I think that is a statement that is worth challenging. Is that the best way to change the system? Can an independent MP actually change Parliament from within? Is the power there to do that?
Well, I draw you to the example in the current Parliament of people called Hunter Tutu, Raj Graywal. We haven't heard a lot from people that have become independents. Tony Clement, there's a whole row of people back in the current Parliament who are independents.
Yeah.
I think they were the two ex-ministers, Jane Philpott and Jody Wilson-Raybould, were talking about a phenomenon yesterday that we haven't seen yet in Canadian politics. I don't want to rule out that it could happen altogether, but that a wave of independent people would somehow, all individuals working together, could upend the system. Now, we have seen that sort of happening in the Senate, that there is a core of independents or independently appointed people, and as much as people like to think of them as Liberal appointees, which they technically are, they certainly aren't making life easy for the government. And I think that's what, you know, in an ideal world that I don't know could exist after the next election. I don't want to rule it out, but
yeah,
that there would be a bunch of people would be running as independents and not follow party discipline. You know, that. So that's their plan. They're going to be, they resisted a chance to join the Green Party, despite what sounded like yesterday, according to Elizabeth May, very intense she says it wasn't negotiation. They weren't sort of horse trading anything.
Right.
But we do know that they talked a lot to Elizabeth May, and that that she was very keen to have them.
Yeah,
and
that,
they resisted it. So,
and that would have been interesting for its own reasons, but I'm still, I suspect, and I don't want to be cynical or pessimistic, or you should never discount the possibility of change and of pioneering work being done and of the power of one person to make a difference. But I think that what most political observers are saying today is that the normal course of events would be that it'll be tough to be elected as an independent MP, but these two MPs with the brand names they have now in Canadian politics might be able to do that. The question is, what about after that? What, they go to Ottawa this fall as independent MPs if they're elected, and then what? What do they actually do, and how do they stay relevant when there will be a government and opposition parties who will be dominating the agenda?
I think their hope, as it is Elizabeth May's hope, is that they're going to be, we are going to have a minority parliament where whatever party has the majority of seats or the most power to assemble a coalition in the House, that could be Liberals or Conservatives, has to pay attention to individual MPs. Like, every right. vote counts in a minority parliament. And in that scenario, two independents, one independent, actually do make a difference. You know, we...
If the math before. Works, though, right?
It's really complicated.
Yeah, because if two parties, for example, can together have more than a majority with a comfortable margin, then they don't need the independents in that scenario, right?
That's right.
Even in
That's
a minority right. parliament.
I'm trying to think of the name of the MP who...
Chuck Cadman?
That's it.
Yeah, who had the one vote that was the balance of power in a minority parliament situation going back, yeah.
That's right. So we tend, day to day, I don't know how much an independent MP can affect the life of parliament. I do think you're right. We haven't, these two women have attention all their own and a brand all their own now too. But are we going to spend the election campaign talking about SNC-Lavalin and what happened earlier in the fall? The Conservatives would like that. I don't think that's going to sustain a whole election campaign. And despite what they talked about yesterday, Jane Philpott and Jody Wilson-Raybould did not talk a lot about what they wanted to do policy-wise.
Right.
A little bit about climate change. But their platform is still missing from the debate here or the conversation.
All right, let's turn to some other news. And the government is now going to try to get the new North American free trade deal through the House of Commons. This is one piece of legislation, obviously, among many that they're going to try to pass before Parliament rises for the summer and then for the federal election in the fall.
So I think what happened yesterday, Chrystia Freeland paved the way for the bill to be introduced. She did. This is a multi-stage process now, and I think a few things are going on. Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States, will be in Ottawa on Thursday. The press release says that he is here to encourage and urge the Canadian Parliament to pass the bill, the implementing legislation for the new trade deal, as soon as possible. He's not in a position really to preach about that because Congress has not yet passed it. He said
right.
he wants Congress to pass it by the end of summer, too. But I think what we're seeing here is Chrystia Freeland, as a courtesy to the Vice President, is saying, look, I've introduced the motion by which it will be introduced, but I think Canada is happy to say, to continue to say, to the United States, look, we're not passing it until you do. So there is some interest in getting swift passage, but I would not be surprised if the House is recalled in the summer and the Senate to pass this legislation, but that it may not get passed by the end of June, not just because they ran out of time, but because they need it as a continuing hammer to tell the United
right.
States, look, get your act together on this.
As part of this ongoing chess match, basically.
Exactly.
So last thing we should talk about, in Ontario, in provincial politics, an interesting thing happened yesterday where the provincial government made a complete reversal of course on some planned cuts to services that are delivered at the municipal level. Now, this is a provincial government story in Ontario. And it's interesting because the cuts were going to be retroactive to the beginning of this year, and they would have caused all kinds of budgetary headaches for cities like Toronto, Ottawa, Hamilton, and so on. The government changed course on this and said, we're not going to do it this year after all. Again, it's a provincial story, but there were a lot of people looking at that and wondering, was this in part because Andrew Scheer and the federal Conservatives were concerned about the impact of those decisions by Doug Ford's government in Ontario on the federal election campaign, that Scheer would be cast in the same light as Doug Ford as somebody who was going to make cuts? Scheer, of course, very recently said that he would not be balancing the books as quickly as he had originally said. And I think that, too, was part of a message that if we get elected in the fall, there's not going to be suddenly a drastic change in spending for the government.
This was always the worry, I think, of federal conservatives is, while it is great news to have an ally like Doug Ford at the provincial level, for instance, he can do a lot of advertising against Justin Trudeau without being subject to spending limits on it. In politics, often it's your friends who hurt you the most. See Jody Wilson-Raybould and Jane Philpott for Trudeau. And what I was hearing last week, during the week that Parliament was off, was that MPs were out in their ridings and they were hearing that people were starting to connect the name, the brand, Conservative, with cuts because of all the attention and all the protest over Doug Ford's cuts. And Andrew Scheer and the Conservatives do not need that association. So I think, I believe, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about this again, that provincial premiers are going to be playing such a huge role in this election campaign, and that can be good for Andrew Scheer, or it can be bad for him. And I think we've seen the first glimpse of how you want to be careful about your alliances or allegiances with, or people seeing too many ties, because Scheer did not inflict those cuts in Ontario, but I believe that the MPs were being told that he could pay the price for them.
Yeah. All right. Very interesting stuff. Susan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
That's Susan Delacourt, Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star.
I will not have to try and convince myself that just because the way it has always been done means that it must continue to be done that way.
Now, here's what political columnists, commentators, and editorialists are writing about today. In the National Post, John Iveson argues the odds are stacked against Jody Wilson-Raybould and Jane Philpott. Iveson writes, Wilson-Raybould and Philpott are probably among the top 10 best-known politicians in Canada, but both ridings are competitive. Philpott warned no one should underestimate the potential of small things to change the world. It's true, no one should be complacent in the age of disruption. But there is no evidence that Canada is keen to go down that rocky road and embrace political anarchy anytime soon. In the Toronto Star, Chantal Hébert argues Jody Wilson-Raybould and Jane Philpott face huge odds running as independents. Hébert writes, the last time a pair of independent candidates made it to the House of Commons goes back more than a decade. If they beat the odds, Wilson-Raybould and Philpott will toil in the relative obscurity that will remain the lot of independent MPs for the foreseeable future. If they lose, they will still have the option of turning their sights to the provincial arena. What is certain is that by running as independents, neither is burning bridges they may want to recross in the future. In the Ottawa Citizen, Christopher Porter argues, if we want to protect the upcoming federal election from cyber threats, we need to start now. Porter writes, Canada's democratic traditions, relative wealth, technological innovation, energy resources, and membership in NATO make it a natural target for foreign government hackers. Western democracies that have successfully rebuffed foreign cyber aggression targeting their elections have done so while addressing policy gaps early and boldly. Canada has the time and intellectual and institutional resources to do the same. Now let's look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. Conservative leader Andrew Scheer will make the third in a series of five major policy speeches today. And as CPAC's Martin Stringer reports, regardless of what he has to say, the topic will guarantee plenty of reaction from both political allies and adversaries.
Mark, Conservative leader Andrew Scheer's speech this afternoon is called Unity in Diversity. In it, the Conservative Party says Scheer will lay out his vision on the issue of immigration. Now, unless you've been totally ignoring federal politics for the past year, you know that immigration, refugees, asylum seekers have all become among the most hot-button issues in Canadian politics. The Conservatives have accused the Trudeau government of having lost control of the border, mismanaged the immigration system, and invited phony asylum seekers to jump the queue, overloading Canada's immigration system. The Liberals, on the other hand, have accused the federal Conservatives of being irresponsible, alarmist, and even touting policies that encourage racism. So it will be more than interesting to hear exactly what Andrew Scheer has to say on the issue of immigration when he speaks in North York, Ontario at 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, the Prime Minister will attend the Cabinet meeting and question period. This evening, he'll He'll speak at the Prime Minister's Awards for Teaching Excellence in Ottawa. Also in Ottawa, Official Languages Minister Melanie Joly and Justice Minister David Lametti will take part in the symposium on the 50th anniversary of the Official Languages Act. Crown Indigenous Relations Minister Carolyn Bennett and Indigenous Services Minister Seamus O'Regan will take part in a fireside chat with Indigenous youth as part of the Open Government Partnership Global Summit 2019 in Ottawa. Environment Minister Catherine McKenna and Natural Resources Minister Amarjeet Sohi will be in Vancouver to attend the 10th Clean Energy Ministerial. And Conservative members on the Standing Committee on Industry, Science and Technology will question Innovation Minister Navdeep Bains. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Tuesday, May the 28th. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.